Aleph Techol HaMoed, Yud Zayin Nissan, Monday the 9th of April, Rabbi Shmuel Schwartz, the After Effects of Slavery.
The Pasuk in Parshas Va'era says as follows. Vayidab Hashem al Moshe vel Aaron v'yisavim al b'nei Yisrael vel parim melech Mitzrayim lehoitzi es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. So Rashi immediately asks a question on this pasuk. Is bothered by a question. The pasuk says, "Tell Moshe." Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, "Command to b'nei Yisrael and to parim melech Mitzrayim to release Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim." So the question is obvious. You don't have to tell Klal Yisrael to release Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. How does Klal Yisrael come in here? Dabashel Moshevel Aaron v'Samuel b'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael is not relevant over here. The point is v'Samuel parim melech Mitzrayim lehoitzis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. So Rashi explains that v'Samuel b'nei Yisrael means in reference to b'nei Yisrael. It's not referring to telling b'nei Yisrael, but regarding b'nei Yisrael, you should let Yisrael out in Mitzrayim. Now, the Meshech Chochmah over here is explaining a different idea, a very beautiful idea. It says as follows. The Medrash in Parshas Noso says that three of the Shvatim were not in the Shuvah Mitzrayim. Right? We all know Levi wasn't in the Shuvah Mitzrayim. But besides that, says he brings a Medrash in Parshas Noso that says Reuven wasn't in the Shuvah Mitzrayim and as Shimon as well. That means Levi, Reuven, and Shimon. These people, these Shavuotim weren't in Mitzrayim, in Shem Mitzrayim. We'll see soon why. And therefore, his chiddush is that they owned Avodim Avdei Yisrael as well. He says, "Omehem hoyu b'nei chayim harbe v'sorim ashoyim mishabdim es Yisrael hankorim mehem amem sholosh oparoik." Paro was looking to make some money on the side, and he sold Jewish slaves to these Levi, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and therefore, at this point, when there's a command to release Yisrael, it's a davash al Moshe, and be Samuel al Bnei Yisrael. El Palach Melech Mitzrayim is both to the Bnei Yisrael who are being mishtabed in other Yisrael, and to Paroi. Now's the time to let Klal Yisrael out, and he mentions that's why we see there's Ramazim for the dinim of Shluchim Avodim over here in this parasha, because there's a medrash that says, or that Sigur Yishalmi says, Yisamu b'nei Yisrael ma'at tzivam al-pasha shluach avodim. How's the idea of releasing of slaves come over here? That the idea is because indeed in Mitzrayim itself there was also Jews who were being mishtabed with other Jews. Now, the interesting part is the way the Meshech Chochmah continues. So he asks the question, why should it have been that these three Shavuotim, that's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, were not only part of the Shem Mitzrayim, we see even that they were mishtabed in other Eden as well. Says the Meshech Chochmah as follows. Amo shloisha Shavuotim halolu, she Yaakov, richakon. Yaakov, these Shavuotim, Yaakov was merachik them. Ilu hoyu mishubodim kechol acheihem, hoyu misarvim b'mitzrayim, hoyu medabim she'ein lehem chilek v'nachlo b'kerib Yisrael, lefichoch mono ha'ashkocha me'ishtavad oysan b'chema v'levein. Says the Meshech Chochmah, an enormous chiddush, says as follows. These three Shavuotim, in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov on his deathbed blessed his sons, these three Shavuotim received a telling off. Reuven was told off Pachas Kamayim, Shimon and Levi were told off for being part of the massacre of killing Shechem. So they received a telling off, says the Meshech Chochmah. That telling off from Yaakov Avinu and that very momentous moment before he's passing on to his just reward was such a deep and powerful thing that had they now had to undergo the Shibud Mitzrayim, they would have not had the strength that the rest of Klal Yisrael had to be Loshino Loshon Levusham, Shemoisam Shon Levusham, and be Zoich to the Geula, because with that low self, so to speak, the low self-esteem and low self-worth would have said to themselves, listen, if it's not working for us, we'll better be this Arab in a Mitzrayim. In a Mitzrayim. See for the Meshech Chochmah, a phenomenal idea. We see here that if somebody's told something of a negative nature by someone of of prestige, someone, a respectable person, the type of result it can have, the type of, not only on Shimon and Levi themselves, but on the whole Shvatim. It wasn't that Shimon and Levi themselves, they were already long gone, long passed away. The Shimon Mitzrayim only started once they'd already all passed away. Yet within these Shvatim, they carried this type of feeling of inferiority, feeling of lack of worthiness, that had it been that they would have to have undergone the Shibud Mitzrayim, they would not have had the strength to be able to fight the elements and, so to speak, come out, have Loishin L'Shalom, L'Vushmoisim L'Shalom L'Vushan. There's another incredible Ebenezer on the same vein in Parsha B'Shalach at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. The Pasuk says over there that Isiyat, the Rishon told Klal Yisrael, Moshe told Klal Yisrael, Isiyat Tzvur Ruiz Ashuras Hashem, the Yeshua is going to come. So the Ebenezer says as follows, Ki Atem Loisasu Milchomo, you're not going to fight. Rak Tiru Es Yeshuas Hashem, Asher Yase Lochem Hayoyim. Yesh Yitzmoya asks the Ebenezer, how can they fear, we were talking about 600,000 people, how could they fear a camp of Mitzrim which is chasing them? Let them fight, let there be a war, let them fight for themselves. They were the leaders, they were bosses to Israel. Chlaisol had enjoyed the experience of 210 years of Shibud. Their nafshu was shevela, their nefesh, their whole beings were shevela, were low. They didn't have the emotional strength to be able to now fight against their adonim. Therefore, by Yisrael, Nirdofim, Ve'inom, Lumtim, Lumchama, there was no way there could be a war. Same he said by Amalek. Amalek, had it not been for Tfilas Moshe, there would not have been the ability to be able to fight. Says the Ebenezer, therefore, it had to be that the door of Mitzrayim had passed away completely, been nifta, before they could go to Eretz Yisrael. Because the conquering of Eretz Yisrael required fighting. And these people weren't fighters. They didn't have it within their guts, within their beings, the ability to fight. One can add that had there not been the Cheta Egel, we know they would have gone. So maybe we can explain that. Maybe there would have been a Milchama. Maybe the conquering of Eretz Yisrael would not have had to have been through Milchama. But as of now, Cheta Egel, having been... there wouldn't have been Milchama, maybe. I'm saying, had there been, that there wouldn't have been a Cheta Egel, he's saying they couldn't fight.
Yes, there were Milchama. Klal Yisrael did fight Milchama.
They did fight, right.
It was after the first story passed away. After the diary of the Tzitzis Mitzrayim passed away.
Yeah, it wasn't before. That's what Ebenezer is saying. He's as a status, as a status. Hello, Tire. He says, didn't experience exile. Here we see, both from the Meshech Chochmah from Ebenezer, that having come out of Mitzrayim, there was the after effects of having been slaves, which manifested itself in inability both to be able to fight further, and even the version of the Gross Hashkocha Gemach, that it wasn't that they should not be, that Shimon and Levi, Reuven Shimon and Levi, should not be part of the Golos, because having had this grueling experience of being told off by Yaakov, they wouldn't have had the strength to be able to continue. With this, we can possibly understand the Apostle tells us the passion of Shvatim, Almono v'yosem leisanun, don't panic, Almono and Yosem, ki yusoyt etzak elai, shoma eshmat filosom. The Mepharshim ask, what's the Yehu said? We know that many times a person can have something he wants to daven for, and he can daven for Mazetach Nishtat, like, you know, the Yeshua comes, a person who said, Shoma Eshmat Filosam. With this we understand that Nebuch, somebody who's experienced this idea, the Almona Nebuch, and the Yosem, that means they've been through a life experience that for them has been something which, no doubt, has given them a certain Nafshe Shefela, a feeling of having lost someone very close, as long as you listen to them, whatever it is. Therefore, when you panic them, when you're giving them on top of that, that's not just Chas v'Shalom like chepping somebody else. You're chepping somebody who's a nafshei shefela. And so to speak, the Rebbe Yishon himself showed us that if someone's a nafshei shefela, we don't chep her. Reuven, Shimon, Levi couldn't have Shimon Mitzrayim because they're nafshei shefela. That if someone Chas v'Shalom causes tzar to someone who's a nafshei shefela, then no doubt that has a very is a very powerful and very dangerous thing. It's interesting that this sort of idea is something which is in the modern day has come very popular, the idea of a person's self-esteem and self-thing. I heard recently there was a study made by a gentleman called Mr. Martin Seligman. He's a professor in positive psychology. He did the following scientific study. They took a dog and they put him within the boundaries of a pen. Obviously, with an area high enough that the dog could not jump out. Then they rigged the inside of the pen with electric bars, and they commenced to give the dog electric shocks. So naturally, the reaction of the dog is, the dog tried to jump out, but of course, it couldn't get. And so it continued for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, continued giving the dog electric shocks, and the dog making effort to jump out. Eventually, the dog realized that it's not going to go for me, it's not working. So he sort of accepted the situation and lay limp and continued to get the electric shocks. The phenomenal part of the study is when they took away the pen and they continued to give him the electric shocks, the dog still didn't move. The dog still lay limp. This is a dog, but the idea is that if one tells someone or one gives enough of a feeling of not being able to, as Enish Galungan, you're not someone who can do it, then even when it comes, the opportunity presents itself, and now you can, still, the inability to be able to do that. And that's understanding that Klal Yisrael, being through Shiva Mitzrayim, Labdil, having been through so much, and having endured the whole time a continuous clap, they wouldn't have the koyach in themselves to be able to say, now that we can, let's go and fight. It's interesting to mention that there's another study I heard of, done by a different person, Talben Shachar, that he did another study as follows. They took a class of 60 children, all on the same academic level, 100%, their results were all the same, all perfectly equal. They told the teachers that one group, they made an A and a B group. That means they told the teachers that there's half of these students, 30 of these students, really their grades weren't as good as the rest of them, so we're making an A group and a B group. So the Shlab Aleph of the test was to see that immediately, although they'd all enter the class with the same grades, the B group did worse than the A group. But the Chiddush Vaita was that once it came the end of the year and they said, Aboisai, we did the shtick, and now we're going to go back and mainstream the whole class, those 30 kids who were in the B group never made up to the group of the kids who were in the A group. Even when it's all open for you to be able to jump out now. But the person's being told enough that he's a person who comes see it has a lasting effect. By Egla Rufo, the Gemara tells us in Sota as follows. Omer Ebshua, Ein Egla Rufo Baal Ebshua, sorry, Ein, etc. And then at the time, the Zakenim say, by the time when they're going to cut off the head of the animal, they're going to think it, they say that Yodeinu Lo Shofchu Damazeh, we didn't kill this person. After the Gemara, Chi Al Lebeinu also, Shezikne Bezdim Shoichei Domim Hei, did you really think that Zikne Bezdim are murderers? Ela Leboli Yodeinu Patrunu Beloinu Veinchinu Leboli Yodeinu Beloinu Zaynes Leinu Veinchu Beloinu Leviya. What's they saying? That we did not let him go without food, and we did not let him go without Levoya, without accompanying him. So Rashi explains, what happened to him? What does it mean we didn't give him food? Because the way this fellow died, we say is that he was starving hungry. He wasn't given, if he would have not been given food. So what would have happened? He would have gone on the way, he would have seen someone carrying food, he would have snatched it away from him, and the other wouldn't have liked it, and there would have been a fight, and that's how he would have been killed. Okay. And there was no Levoya. So Rashi says, If there had been a Levoya, Chabura Shiyelechimoim, there was no one who accompanied him. Now, I can't remember who I heard it from, but the Medai Kazayim Nashi. Had it been that there had been a Chabura, what's the connection? So, there would have been, what's the Levoya got to answer that? You didn't give him food, so now you killed him because he had to snatch his food away, there was a fight and he was killed. What's the idea of no Levoya? So they explain it as follows. Had there been a Levoya, even if you'd have not have given him food, had you accompanied him on his way, he would have had within him the guts and the yecholus and the self-confidence that when that fight happens and he snatched the food, he would have won the fight. He would have been able to find the koich within himself to overpower the other fellow, and we wouldn't be at the situation when he was killed. So much is the koich of a levoya, of a person being able to give a feeling of self-worth, that a person feels strong within himself, and that gives him the yecholus to fight. If he doesn't have that, that's the yecholus to fight, and if there's a levoya, you never know, there's the ability to be able to fight. I heard a very beautiful pshat. The Gemara brings a story of Rabbi Akiva, who was a son-in-law of Kalba Savua. The Gemara brings a story in two places. The Gemara brings a story in Ksubas and the story in Nedarim. Now, the Gemara in Ksubas brings the story very simply. The story was that this woman, her name was Rachel, saw that this man had potential, and although he was the shepherd of her father, they went in private and they made kiddushin and they got married, and she sent him off to learn. And later he came back with all his talmidim, etc., etc. Now, the Gemara in the Dorim adds two little pieces to the story of what happened. What was the story? So, Akiva is Mekadesh, his wife now, and before she sends him off to learn, they seem to stay by the Shver. Nish mamash by the Shver, because they stayed in the barn. But they were sitting in the barn, and the Gemara tells us of two episodes that took place. One is, he was sitting there taking the straw from her hair. And he said to her, meaning, if I would have money, I would buy, Rashi explains, a Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, which is a very expensive ornament. I would buy you a very beautiful, expensive ornament. Point number one. While they were sitting there, there's a knock at the door. And they open the door, and there's an Oni there, and he says, can I have some straw? Says Akiva to his wife, listen, you can see, we're not that badly off because we have straw, and there's a fellow here who doesn't have straw. Once she saw that, seemingly, the next stage is, Omle Akiva, Nakta Chazgavda, immediately Omre Le, Zil Havabe Rav, go to learn. So the question is, what was this clever, clever, clever lady looking to see before she felt that Akiva can go off to learn? And the pshat I hear is the Nanash, I can't remember who, from Amoridika pshat. For a person to be successful, a person has to have aspirations. If a person has to have a drive and aspirations to reach big places, then a person has no reason to push himself. There's no way he can go. However, if a person doesn't have a feeling of self-worth of the person that he is, the bigger the drive, the more miyurish, the more he'll give up, because he doesn't see himself as anything of meaning. So she saw, first of all, he has drive, he has aspirations, he has big shifas. He tells her, if I'd have money, I would buy you a Shalayim Shazov. He's thinking big, he's thinking out of the box. But till the Oni comes along, and he can turn around and say that we're still better off than someone who has less than us, he doesn't have that type of self-respect and self-confidence to be able to be matzviach. So very nice, he has the she'ifa. But once he has the she'ifa, together with the appreciation that ichob oich, I'm also somebody who has, I have more than someone else, if he has that feeling of self-confidence and self-worth, then he'll be able to be matzliach in life. If we think about the biggest gift we can give to talmidim or to children, there's no way that we can be with our talmidim and children the whole way through their lives. They have to make their own way. The biggest gift a person can give a child, a talmid or a child, is the feeling that I believe in you, you're a person who's a gelungener, you're a person who's got the ability to be successful. In whatever it is, love that, whatever it is, you've got the ability to be successful, I believe in you, you're a person who can go big way in life. I heard recently a story of a gentleman who lives here in England, who was very successful. Till a couple of years ago, when the things turned around and the economy started going down, this fellow who was a man of means lost enormous amounts of money. He was left with very little left. And instead of being miyayish and being negative, just a couple of years ago, he pulled himself together and he started up something new. And Bezat Hashem, it's going the right way and he'll be successful again in the Hashem. So I asked this person's wife, where does a person have within himself the ability, despite having had such a big catch, to be able to say, all the money's gone, but I'm prepared to start again from scratch? And she told me, when this boy grew up, his parents continuously said, and imbued in him, we believe in you as a person who will be successful. It never came into the shprach at all, that you're a person who's nishkin gelungena. Whether he's disciplined very well, but a child's given the feeling that I believe in you as being a successful person, many years later, when the person's 55 and 60, he's got that ingrained within himself, that belief in himself, the belief that he's a person who can go big places and be very successful. I might feel it correct, maybe one can add, that the role of a mother in the home is the one who's the hugs and the kisses, the warmth. The father's not the symbol of warmth and thing. What's the father's job? The father in the home is the person who's looked up to. The child looks up to the father as the one who's successful. And therefore it's the job of the father specifically to give that feeling to his child that me, the gelungener, me, the one who's successful, believes in you being a gelungener. I believe that you, as you are, have the ability to be successful and be gelungen. And if that a person has that feeling, a person has that ability, then like we see in the Meshechochem says that what was the point? Had it been that the Shvatim, those three Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon and Levi, would have been in Golos Mitzrayim, they wouldn't have had the strength to fight off the elements, and they would have been Mis'arvim and Mitzrayim. Not having that ability to believe in oneself is the result of the grace of Meshechochem all those years ago, that they would be Mis'arvim and Mitzrayim. Not having the confidence in oneself, not feeling that you're a person who could be successful, says that therefore, why should I not just be Miss Arab and Mitzrayim? Why should I not, in today's world, go for places where they'll accept me and appreciate me in a so much easier and, chas v'shalom, dangerous way? So the idea is, what we're teaching us, the Gosa Chazal over here is teaching us, that if we give a person, especially maybe as fathers, give a person a feeling that you're a gelungen, you as a child, I believe, can be successful, you're giving a gift of life. Because that he takes further and further when you're not there and he sees the challenge in life, I can go this way or this way. So he has that voice ringing in his head that, no, Daddy and Mommy believe that I can be gelungen, I can be successful. Therefore, it's much better to hang on the mainstream and bring that success to fruition. Thank you.